This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our work through Genesis chapters 45 and 46, picking up with Joseph is gracious, do not quarrel, Jacob revived, Jacob removes to Egypt part one, and Jacob removes to Egypt part two. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
amen.
A reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us, you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gave his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. This is the word of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We're in the season of Advent, and we often pray, do we not? Come, Lord Jesus. And indeed, we do so pray. In our lesson, however, today, Paul reminds us that this coming is deeply serious. He's speaking to Thessalonians, to us, and says to them that God wills your sanctification. Am I sanctified? Are you? Can we stand before the God who we pray, come? In any case, we confess, do we not, in the creed, that he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. We will stand before a judge. At that moment, will I say to the judge, I am sanctified. I think that will be, at least as I conceive of it, an awesome moment. Paul here, of course, speaks of especially sexual sin, perhaps because that is most apt to express a total disordered passion, which draws along with it even the body to be submitted to sin and wrongdoing. In any case, Paul reminds the Thessalonians that you have been called by God in holiness. He refers, I think, in the first instance, perhaps, maybe to that breath of God at the very beginning when he breathes into the face of the dust and creates a man who is to live before God in truth and holiness. That is to say, dedicated totally, not partially, but totally, to the service and praise of his Creator. That man sinned. in him did we all. So God reminds the Thessalonians, that is to say, you and me, that we were called in holiness, almost certainly a reference to baptism. When God breathed yet again into our face and gave us his Holy Spirit, his breath, that we might in our life, as we await the coming of the one for whose coming we pray, that we live in truth and holiness, not partially, but totally. And perhaps in his reference to this special sin, maybe Paul had David in mind, and his tryst with Bathsheba. Because as we read in Psalm 51, which is often thought to be David's cry from the heart in view of his transgression, we do hear the Davidic echo of the Pauline passage. Here's David. Have mercy on me, O Lord, according to your steadfast love. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only. Does that not echo Paul's statement? If you disregard, says the ESV, if you disregard the fact that God has elected you in holiness, then you disregard. The Greek is a little stronger than disregard, I think. Atheteo, to lay aside as though it weren't important. If you lay aside, shove it off as though it isn't important, namely your baptism and your call to holiness, then you disregard, lay aside as of no importance, not a man, but God. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. No wonder he cries out, have mercy upon me, O Lord. And later in this psalm, we have these very familiar terms that we even sing within our liturgy. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We sing that, I double-checked this morning just to make sure, right before the offertory. I suspect there's a different tone when David did it. It's a cry. I am a sinner before you, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, nor take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by thy free spirit. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for thy steadfast love's sake. For the sake of thy son's blood, O God, cast me not away. And so, when that moment comes, and it comes, when we stand before the throne of God, I will not say, I am sanctified, I am pure. I will say, your son is my righteousness and my salvation. I have no merit but his. And I believe that upon hearing those words of the Heavenly Father who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, that he will say, I sent my Son for you. And he came again to judge the living and the dead. And now here's my verdict. In him, yes, you are righteous and sanctified. Come, receive the inheritance which I have prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And uphold me with your Holy Spirit.
My mouth is filled with your praise.
And with your glory all day.
Every day I will bless you.
And praise your name forever and ever.
By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name.
He redeems your life from the pit.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let us pray. We pray for Sarah Pauls, wife of Professor Jeffrey Pauls, who is undergoing surgery today. Lord Jesus Christ, hear our prayers on behalf of your servant Sarah as she undergoes surgery. Bless her with faith in your loving kindness and protection. Endow the surgeons and the medical team with alertness and skill so that, according to your will, this surgery may bring a full restoration of health and strength for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Grant us to wait, O Lord, for your loving kindness in the midst of your temple, that with true repentance we may hail the advent of our redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.